Will the house come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
33 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning we have two excused absences, Representatives Schultz and Representative Pierce. Okay.
Our chaplain today is Reverend Ann Parsons of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another glorious day. How fortunate we are to live in Alaska. And so we ask you to grant us, in all our doubts and uncertainties, the grace to ask what you would have us to do, and that the Spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices. Keep our minds on the welfare of your people, and that in the light of your grace we may see their need. Set us on the right path that we may not stumble. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Representative Rieger, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 78th and the 79th legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 78th and 79th days and House Supplement Number 7.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 78th and 79th legislative days plus House Supplement Number 7 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals before you today? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction? Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to have you join me in welcoming Leland Dishman, the superintendent of the Copper River School District, and his school board member, Ed Tolman from Glen Allen.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, today we are pleased to acknowledge the presence of a young minister from the Juneau community, the pastor of First Shiloh Baptist Church of Juneau, Reverend Mitchell Patterson.
Any further guests for introduction? In Gallery B, we have some 8th grade students from Blatchley Junior Middle School. I guess that's what they call it now. The instructor is Harvey Brandt, and the chaperone is Judy Moffitt. These 8th graders in social studies class go through a series of tests on Know Your State Government, do political cartoons, and the top ones get sent here to Juneau, and they pay the toll. And please help me welcome here to Juneau. Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, I have signed the following resolution and the bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 17, Labor and Commerce, relating to the use and recording of trade names to designate seafood products of Alaska origin, Legislative Resolve Number 8, and Senate Bill Number 90, amended House, relating to the eligible age for service in the militia of the state and providing for an effective date, Chapter Number 5, SLA, 1987. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation and is transmitted for consideration, honoring Officer Preston W. Chapman, saving a child's life.
Rules for calendaring.
And also, I see there's one from honoring C.W. Bill Snedden, 1987 Alaskan of the Year, and in memoriam Marvin Vial by Senator Szymanski and Kurtula.
Rules.
The Senate has passed sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 5 amended with the following amendment. Senate Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 5 resources, reflagging of foreign fish processing vessels and returning for consideration. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 4, State Affairs, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 4, State Affairs, an act relating to outdoor advertising. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to unlawful possession and vandalism of official traffic control devices, disregard of a highway obstruction, and damages to highways.
Two standing committees, Transportation and Judiciary.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 107, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the reviser of statutes and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary Committee.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the practice of architecture, engineering, and land surveying.
Labor and Commerce and the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill 130 by Krutula and Zemanski, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for recorder's offices and providing for an effective date.
Resources and the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
I've received a message from Ben Grusendorf, Speaker of the House. For the record, I have made appointments to the following governor's commissions: Code Revision Commission, Representative John Sund; Education Commission of the States and the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, Representative Nilo Kopanen. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down on the daily order of business to reports to standing committees.
Members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee have no objections to the following appointments made to boards and commissions by the governor at this time, and it's to the following boards and commissions: Athletic Commission, Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, State Assessment Review Board, Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Board of Electrical Examiners, Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Alaska Public Utilities Commission, and Alaska Workers' Compensation Board. In signing the report were Donnelly, Kopanen, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Furness, and Boucher, and Donnelly signed as chairman. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 12, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the use and expenditure of state money. It recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 12 with the same title, reports it back as follows with three fiscal notes. One is a fiscal note with impact, and one is a zero fiscal note, and one with a zero fiscal note with analysis. Report was signed by Ulmer, chairman. Signing Dupass, Menard, and Ulmer. Having no recommendation, Donnelly, Boucher, Martin, and Hoffman. House Joint Resolution Number 12 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 44, relating to motor vehicle liability insurance and the insurance requirements for obtaining and maintaining motor vehicle registration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 44, Judiciary, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Sund, chairman, concurring. Sund, Grunberg, Barnes, Navarre, Cotton, and Ulmer. Taylor signed, do not pass. House Bill 44 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 65, relating to dissolution of a municipality, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 65, Judiciary, with the same title, and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Sund, chairman, signing Dupass, Cotton, Sund, and Grunberg. Having no recommendation, Ulmer, Navarre, and Barnes, and Taylor signed, do not pass.
Okay. Committee substitute for House Bill 65, Judiciary, now has a fiscal impact, and at this time I'd like to refer to the Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 93, establishing a system of recreation rivers, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 93, Finance, with a new title, recommends it do pass, and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, chairman, signing do pass, Porchot, Boyer, Brown, Rieger, Davis, and Larson. Having no recommendation, Adams, Gall, Wallace, Swackhammer, and Frank. House Bill 93 has no further referral. I received a letter of explanation from the Committee on Health and Education and Social Services to Committee Substitute for House Bill 113, Hess, and it will be placed in the journal. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 121, repealing a provision related to payment of costs by private prosecutor, and recommends it do pass and attaches a judiciary and approves the judiciary letter of intent. The report was signed by Adams, chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Porchot, Boyer, Gall, Swackhammer, Wallace, Davis, Brown, and Larson. Having no recommendation, Rieger and Frank. House Bill 121 appears on today's calendar. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 133, relating to eligibility for permanent fund dividends, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 133 Hess with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Ellis. Signing do pass, Grunberg, Hudson, Kopanen, Ellis, Hanley, and Phillips. Donnelly has no recommendation. House Bill 133 appears on, no, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 140 relating to parole, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 140 Judiciary with a new title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Porchot, Vice Chairman, concurring Porchot, Larson, Brown, Davis, Swackhammer, Rieger, Boyer, Gall, and Frank. Wallace has no recommendation. House Bill 140 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 143, Assessment of Civil Penalties under the Alaska Securities Act, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 143, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Sund Chairman, concurring Navarre, Barnes, Taylor, Grunberg, and Sund. House Bill 143 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 154, Taxation of Income Derived by Individuals, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 154, State Affairs, with a new title, and recommends as follows. The report was signed by Omer, Chairman, signing do pass, Davidson, and Omer. Signing do not pass, Boucher, Menard, Donnelly, and Martin. Hoffman signed do not pass unless amended. House Bill 154 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 193, Sale of Inherited Remote Parcels, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Cotton, co-chair. Concurring Cotton, Herman, Springer, Davidson, and Sund. House Bill 193 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 218, creating the Alaska Center for International Business, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 218, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Kopanen, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Furness, and Donnelly. House Bill 218 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 219, an appropriation to the University of Alaska for operation of the Alaska Center for International Business, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Kopanen, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, and Furness. Donnelly has no recommendation. House Bill 219 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 222, Occupational Licensing, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Kopanen, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Furness, and Donnelly. House Bill 222 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 157, Finance, appropriating from the Earnings Reserve Account of the Alaska Permanent Fund to the General Fund, and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 157, State Affairs, with a new title, and reports it back as follows and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Omer, Chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, and Martin. Having no recommendation, Menard, Donnelly, and Omer. Signing do not pass, Hoffman and Davidson. Senate Bill 157 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Rhody Corella, but 1987 Iditarod Red Lantern Award winner by Representatives Menard and Larson. Citation honoring Alaska All-Star Squirt A Hockey Team Western Region Champions by Representative Cotton. Citation in memoriam Jenny A. Wasey by Representatives Larson and Menard.
The citations for our consideration will go to Rules Committee for calendaring.
House Joint Resolution Number 26 by Donnelly, Miller, Martin, and Boucher, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to advisory opinions of the Supreme Court on the request of the Governor or Legislature.
Three standing committees, State Affairs, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Joint Resolution 27 by Miller, relating to the United States Army Corps of Engineers permits for dredging or filling wetlands.
Resources Committee.
House Joint Resolution 28 by the Labor and Commerce Committee by request for the Subcommittee on International Trade, encouraging the development of a working relationship between Alaska and New Zealand.
Labor and Commerce.
House Joint Resolution 29 by Herman and Menard, relating to the Brooks River Falls Fish Ladder.
Resources Committee.
House Joint Resolution Number 30 by Collins, Bloomberg, Barnes, Boucher, Cotton, Donnelly, Ellis, Furness, Hanley, Hudson, Menard, Pierce, Pettijohn, Phillips, Rieger, Taylor, Zawacki, Porcheau, Brown, Cato, and Ulmer, urging the League of Women Voters to consider Anchorage as a site of a presidential debate sponsored by the League.
State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to first reading and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 228 by Menard, Grunberg, and Boucher, an act relating to regulation of the practice of dentistry and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 249 by Frank and Boyer, an act relating to the issuance of bonds of the University of Alaska for refinancing housing and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 250 by Larson, Zawacki, Menard, Boyer, Boucher and Collins, an act relating to civil liability, amending Alaska Rule of Civil Procedure 82 and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 251 by Grunberg, an act relating to grounds for divorce.
That will go to the Hess Committee and Judiciary.
House Bill 252, with a governor's transmittal letter and a physical note and a zero physical note with analysis, by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the supplemental benefits system and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 253, with a governor's letter and a physical note, by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the Alaska Research Policy Act and the Science and Engineering Advisory Commission and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
House Bill 254, by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, with the same letter as accompanied 253, an act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Science and Engineering Advisory Commission, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
House Bill 255, with a governor's letter by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Education for the Foundation Program and providing for an effective date.
Hess Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 256, with a governor's letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to driving motor vehicles in the vicinity of the James Dalton Highway, providing penalties for violations of motor vehicle laws and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 257 by Martin, Phillips, Hanley, and Barnes, an act relating to certified professional secretaries and professional legal secretaries and amending the scope of the personnel rules.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 258 by Martin and Grunberg by request, an act relating to the civil liability of and liability insurance for foster parents.
Hess and Judiciary.
House Bill 259 by Miller, an act relating to the small-scale use of water.
Resources and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 260 by Ellis, Grunberg, Porcheau, Brown, Gall, Hanley, Larson, and Kopanen, an act establishing an excise tax on the sale of smokeless tobacco and providing for an effective date.
Hess Committee and Finance.
House Bill 261 by Grunberg, Barnes, Donnelly, Collins, Hudson, Larson, Martin, and Springer, an act relating to ignition interlock devices and establishment of Class C misdemeanor.
Be Hess, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Bill 262 by Taylor, an act relating to credited service under the Teachers Retirement System and Public Employees Retirement System for service in the Peace Corps.
State Affairs, Health, Education, and Social Services, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill Number 12 by Larson and Menard, an act relating to limiting certain kinds of credited service in the teacher's retirement system and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows with the report was and with a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing Dupas, Martin, and Menard, having no recommendation, Donnelly, Davidson, and Ulmer. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis, signing Dupas, Phillips, Hanley, and Grunberg, having no recommendation, Kopanen, Hudson, Donnelly, and Ellis. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Report was signed by Porchot, Vice Chairman. Signing Dupas, Rieger, Larson, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Davis, Brown, Gall, Frank, Porchot, and Swackhammer. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no committee substitutes or amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 12 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill 12 by Larson and Menard, an act relating to limiting certain kinds of credited service in the teacher's retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make just a few brief comments. First of all, this would only affect anyone who would be hired into the teacher's system after July the 1st of this year. Presently, of course, we know that a person may move from outside, bringing up to 10 years of teaching experience into the Alaska system, and then paying for that amount at the minimum level would be allowed, say, to teach in Alaska for a period of roughly 5 years, and if that person then happened to be 55 years of age, to then retire from the Alaska teacher's retirement system with 30% of their salary benefits. Mr. Speaker, I feel that this was probably nice during the time when we had lots of money. However, I feel that it's time that we start tightening our belts. And this is one of those few things that we have been able to vote on so far this year that will actually save money, not only to the state of Alaska, but also to the various school districts around the state. And let me just take a minute to tell you who this will really affect. First of all, presently, we allow up to 5 years of military service to be brought into the teacher's retirement system. This would reduce that from 5 years to 3 years. I think it still gives recognition for military service. And by the way, I would call the members' attention that most states do not allow any time to be brought into the retirement system, whether it's teaching or military. This would also affect anyone from bringing in more than 3 years of outside teaching experience. I do not think it would affect any more, as under present law, those who are under the territorial service, because if they haven't got back into the teaching profession for the last 29 years, I really don't think they're going to be coming back. It may affect just a very few within the BIA. However, those individuals have already had at least 2 years to get back into the teacher's retirement system. So I guess what I'm trying to do in this bill is to bring the number of years of outside service back down to a more realistic measure. But I think one of the important things we must always remember, too, is that we have many young college graduates from the state of Alaska that have come back to the state of Alaska and have not been able to get jobs simply because they have had to be made to compete with outside people who have come to Alaska with a large number of years of experience. So we're not only discriminating against Alaskans in the teacher's retirement system with the 10 years, I think we're also discriminating against many young qualified people or many young qualified Alaskans who would like to go to work in Alaska. So with those brief comments, I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions, and I would urge your support to this bill. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I plan to support this legislation. However, as a matter of record, I would like to make one acknowledgement that I think that may be material and one that no doubt we will be looking at in the future. Mr. Speaker, the sponsor of the legislation indicated that towards buy-in, that military service has been reduced from 5 years to 3 years. But let me share with the body that at least the Air Force has a set term of 4 years, whereas I believe the Army and some of the other services may be three. And I would assume the original intent was to at least provide an ability of bringing in quite clearly at least one term of military service. As you all know, in the Anchorage community and the Fairbanks community, a large number of the residents are those persons who may serve one term in the military and decide to stay in Alaska. In fact, I was expect that a number of members on this floor came to Alaska as a result of that. So what I'd like to do is, at least for the record, make this acknowledgement. I believe that that term should be 4 years rather than 3 years, allowing at least a person who have served in the Air Force or a branch of service that has a term of 4 years to bring that one term in. Although I do not plan to amend the bill, I've talked to the sponsor, and it is his preference that we not amend it. It is a matter of record. We will be dealing with this, because I'm sure the 100,000 veterans throughout the state will be sending in cards and letters, ladies and gentlemen, requesting that change. So with that, Mr. Speaker, thank you.
Representative Larson.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the comments expressed by the previous speaker. Once again, though, I do want to emphasize the fact that we are recognizing outside experience as having a value, and we are recognizing military experience as having a value. We're recognizing it to the extent that both of them could be up to 3 years, no longer that total of 10 years as it was in the past. So thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 12 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 1 nay.
House Bill 12 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the final vote on House Bill number 12 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 121 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act repealing a provision related to payment of costs by private prosecutor. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows and attaches a judiciary letter of intent. The report was signed by Sund, Chairman, signing do pass, Sund, Omer, Grunberg, and Cotton. Taylor signed, do not pass, removes common law right in statute law. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and also adopts the judiciary letter of intent. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Porcheau, Boyer, Gall, Swackhammer, Wallace, Davis, Brown, and Larson. Rieger and Frank signed no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 121 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion from second to third? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill number 121 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act repealing a provision related to payment of costs by private prosecutor.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As indicated in the report coming out of Judiciary, I oppose this bill. My opposition is solely based upon the fact that though this law may be an anachronism, and though it has not been utilized to a great extent in the history of this state, there have been attempts made recently to utilize this bill by frustrated people who were seeking to find a solution, and a solution that involves significant risk, I might add, to themselves. And that is that when they advance their own cause to move into the judicial system and become their own prosecutor, the law also provided significant penalties if, in fact, they had misused the system or brought an inappropriate action. What actually happened in this instance is that the clerks in the court system didn't know what to do with it when these people came in, because it had been years since anyone had ever tried something like this, but it was still on our books. The prosecutor's office was embarrassed by it because they didn't know what to do with it either. Basically, it's an ancient common law right that we incorporated in our statutes years ago. Again, it has been seldom used, but I intend to oppose any time the removal of or the deprivation of any liberties or rights that are available to our people. And this happens to be one. It happens to be a law without clarification at this point. And rather than remove it, what we should probably be doing is spending the time in the interim to figure out how we can best make certain that the rights that are inculcated within this law are protected to all our citizens. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, have had some concerns in reading this. Mr. Speaker, as I understand the existing statute, it basically gives the court's inability of at least assessing charges against an attorney or a person who prosecutes a case if the court feels that that case basically has no merit. And it appears that by taking away and repealing this section of statute, we're leaving perhaps a gaping hole. I would imagine that there are other sections that would cover it. But, Mr. Speaker, permit me a little liberty to read a paragraph in a transmittal from the governor. It says here, the filing of a criminal action is obviously a very serious matter. The fact that a criminal charge has been filed against a person may have a negative effect upon that person's reputation, position in the community, employment opportunities, etc. The need to defend oneself against criminal charges may impose a great deal of financial expense and emotional strain. Thus, the power to institute criminal proceedings ought not to rest with a private party involved in some sort of vendetta or a personal dispute with another. It appears to me, Mr. Speaker, that this statute addresses that. The statute says if you bring an action in the court, at least have it fairly well grounded in some type of a basis. Let it not be a vendetta of some type. And if it is, and we find that, then you pay the cost of that proceedings. By repealing this, Mr. Speaker, we seem to have taken that away, and I have some concerns with that. And perhaps the judiciary chairman I see is sort of on a springboard there wanting to speak to this. I'll retire and let him do so, but I appreciate some type of explanation.
Representative Sund.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not exactly on a springboard on this, but I will address the issue. There is some confusion in the existing statute of who can prosecute criminally, and under Title 44, we have stated that the Attorney General is the legal advisor of the governor and other state officers, and the Attorney General shall prosecute all cases involving violation of state law. So we've set up one statute, a segment saying the criminal law will be enforced by the state, and all cases of the criminal law will be enforced by the state. And this section here, properly worded by prior speakers, an anachronism, has caused some deal of confusion of whether a private person can bring a criminal cause of action. And it's at least my recommendation, along with the governor and the court system, that we clarify this issue and repeal this section. This does not deprive anybody of any common law right or constitutional right. If they had it, it's still there. We cannot repeal constitutional rights by repealing statutes. It does not deprive anybody of any civil action that they have. But some of the cases that have brought these up, the example that's been brought up is primarily in Kenai area, where some individuals have been bringing criminal actions against police officers for criminal trespass and other items when they've been instituting an arrest. And it's caused a great deal of confusion. If those people feel they've been trespassed on, they have all their civil remedies to bring a civil action. But we want to clarify that they do not have the right to bring a criminal action. And I'd note also that in other cases, filing a criminal actions, in many cases, even though this statute does have some language as to the recovery of damages brought up by the prior speaker from Anchorage, that may occur many, many months down the road, and the mere filing of the criminal action and reading it on the front page of the paper many times does the damage to the person's reputation that really cannot be repaired. And there's none of the filter system or the ethical considerations by an individual to go file a criminal action if they wanted to, even though they may be forced somehow to pay damages down the road. The damages may never repair the reputation and the loss of respect. Under our criminal section, the district attorneys are under control of our attorney general. They do have a set of guidelines they have to go through. They have to make sure there's probable cause. They have to do some investigations, and they have to have a basis for filing the charge. And I think we should clarify this here and just say our attorney general and our district attorneys are those who bring the cases on all criminal cases and all the civil people. The rest of us can have access to the courts through the civil justice system if we want to file our charges there. And I'd urge support of the legislation.
Any further debate? Representative Furness. Well,
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate that explanation, and in fact, it comes very clear to mind. I recall several years ago in debate on this floor having to do with a similar type statute, and had to do with the environmental lobbyists, I believe, at that time, and they're hesitant oftentimes of filing a suit because of the fact that they may be required to pay the cost of that suit if they lose in court. It appears to me, Mr. Speaker, that the statute we are repealing may indeed have some redeeming factors. It may prevent a person from bringing a very close call suit, one that does not have a real strong basis, that may hinge upon some type of a personal vendetta, and what may lend itself to other types of settlement. It appears to me that should we leave this statute in place, where a person at least is aware in statute that they may be required to pay the court costs and other related costs as a result of a malicious, unfounded action, that may indeed be a sufficient deterrent in order to relieve the court of its large overload. And with that in mind, Mr. Speaker, I propose to vote against this legislation this morning.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Taylor.
Yes. In brief summary, since I think I'm probably one of the only ones in the House or one of the few in the House that raised objection to this legislation, I want the members to think about our future for just a bit, if you could, with me, and that is that we have significantly reduced the budget, or it looks as though it's going to be reduced if we follow the governor's recommendation, of our Department of Law in prosecuting actions. We allow to district attorneys a right, and that's a right called nulla prosequi, and that means that the district attorney can select or do triage, if you will, among the cases that are presented to him. And as their workload increases, they're going to be selecting the much more important, the much more severe criminal cases and prosecuting those. What this law, if left in place, and I agree with the former speakers about what brought this problem to the notice of our Attorney General's office, and those were those cases in Kenai, and I certainly don't wish to make any comment about those cases or the validity of those cases. The process may very well be misused, and if it is misused, there are actions available and statutes available under law to sanction those people for that misuse. And there's criminal actions, both criminal and civil actions, available for the misuse of process. And as a consequence, I don't think it's something that we need fear that there be a rampant group of odd folks out there coming forward with strange charges. An occasional one may, but the system is built to deal with that. What I'm fearful of is the district attorney who's faced with the decision, do I put my efforts and my money and my staff behind these two rape cases and two murder cases and forget about the fact that the guy just broke into your house last week and busted your furniture all up? I mean, because he has that choice. And if he does, in fact, choose not to prosecute that case, what happens to you? The person who broke into your house may very well be judgment-proof. It isn't going to do you any good to go into civil court. A civil court judgment and four bits will buy you a cup of coffee. So as a consequence, that isn't going to provide a remedy. The only remedy left available to you and to your community, if you want to see justice done, is to bring that action yourself. By throwing this law out, we are repealing that. And I think the only reason we're repealing it is some folks up on the Kenai Peninsula who'd never seen one of these things, the district attorney up there and the court system up there, who didn't quite know how to handle it, didn't really have some good direction in statute law as to how to handle it, said, well, gee, let's just throw this right out. And then, just like the representative from Ketchikan said, the attorney general of this state shall be the only person who can bring a criminal action, and he shall decide for each one of you and I whether or not that criminal action shall ever be brought. I don't know that I want to give up that power, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Yeah. Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any further debate? Are you ready for the question? question is, shall House Bill 121 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
21 yeas, 15 nays.
House Bill 121 has passed the House. Does the letter of intent go with that? Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a House Judiciary Committee letter of intent that should be in your packets, all members. It appears in the House Journal at February 25, page 317. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Judiciary Committee letter of intent.
Are there any objection as the adoption of the letter of intent, Judiciary? Hearing no objection, the letter of intent has been adopted. Mr. Minority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration on HB 121.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Mr. Majority Leader?
May we have a brief at ease, please?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before they had ease, we just had notice of reconsideration for House Bill 121. Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. On items that will be reconsidered today and items that don't advance, this being the first, I will move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration on House Bill 121 be held over till the following legislative day next Monday.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the reconsideration will be available on Monday. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 184 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to individual tax credits. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Porcho, Larson, Gall, Swackhammer, Boyer, Frank, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Rieger, Davis, and Brown. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 184 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there objections to the motion to advance? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill 184 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to individual tax credits.
Third reading, under debate.
Question, please.
Are you ready for the Representative Cotton?
Mr. Speaker, I would appreciate somebody telling me what we're voting on here. I didn't read that.
Representative Adams?
Thank you. Yesterday we put the packet before each member's on their desk. This particular bill would repeal the statutory authority for political contribution and child care credits. We have not funded these for the last 2 years, and since we're not going to handle these, that then we should remove these two particular contributions from the books.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 184 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Boucher.
Yes.
From yes to no. Does any other member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
29 yeas, 9 nays.
House Bill 184 has passed the House. Would the clerk at this time please take the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 4 by Kopanen, Ellis, Sund, Herman, Brown, and Gall, relating to a nuclear-free zone in the Arctic, the Subarctic, and Alaska. The State Affairs Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution State Affairs with the same title, and recommends as follows with a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Ulmer Chairman, signing do pass, Ulmer Donnelly and Davidson. Signing do not pass, Martin and Boucher. Menard signed no recommendation. The Rules Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Rules with the same title and recommends as follows. Report was signed by Navarre Chairman, signing do pass, Navarre, Grunberg, and Grusendorf. Signing no recommendation, Hoffman. Signing pass at your peril, Pettijohn. Martin signed do not pass. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Rules Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 4.
Are there any objections as to adopting the CS rules? Hearing no objection, the CS rules has been adopted. Would the clerk please read the First Amendment before us?
Amendment Number 1 by Hanley and Hoffman, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment Number 1 and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objection.
Mr. Speaker, Amendment Number 1 actually broadens the focus of this resolution. I think we've all agreed that certainly a nuclear-free society is something we should all strive for. But I think in strictly limiting that focus to Alaska, we've actually hurting the defense of the country. And I think that to be appropriate, we need to actually look at the whole world in this resolution and broaden our horizons.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 1? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too rise in support to change the resolution. I believe that to single out Alaska would be wrong. We should be working toward a nuclear-free world, but we should also be looking at disarmament. And by singling out Alaska and closing ourselves off, I think is the wrong approach. We should exclude Alaska and become part of a world movement toward a stronger nuclear-free country. So I would support the amendment.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I share the hopes and wishes of the movers of this amendment, I'm afraid I'm a bit more of an incrementalist and think we have to move in small steps, and that what we are doing here is speaking for the state of Alaska, and that whereas we may wish the rest of the world to follow, I think it is more appropriate for us to speak for our own state. I was given a couple of buttons by one of my constituents. One of them declares myself to be a nuclear-free zone. I don't have a radium watch. And the other says, if the people lead, the leaders will follow. I think that in the referendum this summer, the people have led. And we should follow at least as far as we can. And since we speak for the state of Alaska rather than the whole world, I would limit it to the state of Alaska. I had anticipated a resolution, an amendment to narrow the scope of the resolution rather than to broaden it to cover the world. I would look forward to a nuclear-free universe at some time in the future, but one step at a time. Thank you.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 1? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In support of the amendment, I think it was very clear in the testimony given at some of the committee hearings, especially by Bishop Kenny and a couple others, that they felt the major problem with this resolution is that it's too narrow, that we speak only of Alaska as if we only care by ourselves. And he very explicitly says that, yes, we should speak out that we hope to have peace and nuclear weapons freeze in the whole world, because we're very vulnerable. If we just excuse ourselves from such things, we're very vulnerable, and we want to express it to the world. We want no threat of nuclear weapons. It is also clear that some of the statements that have come in about the ballot question. People said we want to go similar to the ballot question that was passed last year. It did not limit Alaska. It did not specifically say Alaska. It was talking about the Arctic and the sub-Arctic. So we have narrowed the picture just to the state of Alaska. So if we're going to use the ballot as the major reason for emphasizing the resolution, then be clear as to what the ballot says. Nuclear, freeze, Arctic, sub-Arctic. Yes, let's expand that to the world. I wholeheartedly support this, not only for the testimony, but for the number of telegrams that people have sent in.
Representative Gruenberg.
May we please have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease?
Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had amendment number one before us. Representative Kopanen.
I remove my objection.
Are there any objections to amendment number one? Any objections? Hearing no objections, amendment number one has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to the second amendment before us?
Page 3, line 29, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent, please.
Okay. Are there any objections to amendment number two? Hearing objections. Representative Furness.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was hoping somebody objects so I could speak to my amendment. Yeah, thank you. Well, Mr. Speaker, needless to say, I think the amendment is proper to be with the resolution. What the amendment basically says is let's send a copy to Mr. Gorbachev. I'll bring the members' attention to page one of the resolution. We speak of five treaties in existence with as many as 83 signatories to include the Soviet Union. So at least we mentioned there that at least they are part of this action. I draw your attention to page 2 of the resolution, lines 3, where we speak of Chernobyl and the disaster there in the Soviet Union and the results of the spread of nuclear poison throughout the country and its effects there. So, Mr. Speaker, it appears fitting and proper that in this body passing this resolution, that since we are an open, free society, I believe that all persons involved at least should be appraised of our action on the floor, and I feel that there are probably sufficient votes to pass this resolution. So therefore, Mr. Speaker, I think it would be, again, very proper to advise the General Secretary of our actions and would appreciate having him included in the resolution.
Are there any objections to amendment number two? Representative Phillips.
Speaker, not really objection, but since we passed amendment number one, it seems to me that we should be sending this to, there's about 134 nations or something like that in the United Nations, and disappoint.
Keep in mind the postage. Representative Kopanen.
Yes, I, at a second glance at the amendment number two, I would ask the maker of the amendment to, whether it would not be more proper to address Mr. Gorbachev in his capacity, I believe, the leader of the government of the Soviet Union rather than his political position as General Secretary of the Communist Party.
Representative Furness.
I have no objection to that, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk understand what's going on here?
Can we please have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease on amendment number two, we had a title change. Would the clerk please read that title change?
On page 3, line 29, following the word states, insert the Honorable Mikhail S. Gorbachev, Premier of the Soviet Union and USSR.
Are there any objections to the title change? Representative Goh.
No, I have no objection. And Mr. Chair, Speaker, I remove my objection on the amendment as amended if it becomes an amendment as amended.
Okay. Is there any objections to the amendment in the title change? Hearing no, are there any objections to amendment number two? Mr. Majority Leader.
May we please have another group?
Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House please come back to order? Before the at ease, we had an amendment to the amendment, which was basically a title change. And hearing no objections, we're back to amendment number 2. Are there any objections? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I probably should stay seated on this. I think it's a goofy idea to send a copy of this resolution to the leader of the USSR. We're sending a resolution to our people, asking them to take certain actions and do certain things, and there's no reason to be sending it to the leader of another country. That's not what we're up to. We're talking to our own people.
Representative Zawacki.
Mr. Speaker, I might just add, I think we should take into consideration who the two major superpowers of this world are, and I think the message should be sent to both of them.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to rise in opposition to this amendment also. Perhaps I would feel more comfortable if it said here copies of this was sent to the United Nations or something, but not to Frank Murkowski, Don Young, Ted Stevens, and members of the Alaska delegation, and Gorbachev. I think it would be more appropriately some other place.
Any further debate on amendment number 2? Are you ready for the question? Representative Taylor.
I think if there's anybody in the world that needs to see a copy of this resolution, it's Mikhail Gorbachev.
Let's see question.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
24 yeas, 13 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Representative Martin to page 1, line 28, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for approval of amendment number 3.
Do I hear any objections? Do I hear any objections to amendment number 3? Hearing no objections, amendment number 3 has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number 4?
Amendment number 4. By Mr. Representative Zawacki, and it starts with page 1, line 5, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Zawacki, amendment number 4 to be moved.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I request that amendment number 4 be advanced. Can you ask unanimous consent?
Okay. Amendment number 4 has been moved. I hear objections. Representative Zawacki, would you care to?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, when I came in this morning, as like many of us, I got the voting record of the nuclear weapons freeze initiative that was on the ballot last year, kind of telling all of us how the vote went. At all of the committee meetings and on the previous floor that we've had, it was emphasized that this bill was related to the nuclear weapons freeze, again, that was voted on last year unanimously by the people. And suddenly the bill itself, or the resolution, I apologize there, suddenly says nuclear free zone. Again, I referenced the statute, or not the statute, but the ballot measure again last year says nuclear weapons freeze, and my amendment is requesting that be inserted since this resolution referenced continuously that amendment last year.
Any further debate on amendment number 4? Are there any objections to amendment number 4? Any objections to amendment number 4? Hearing no objections, amendment number 4 has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number 5?
Amendment number 5 by Cotton to page 3, line 28, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 5.
Hearing objections, Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's pretty self-explanatory what I'm proposing here. There's been several concerns expressed to me about why we shouldn't discourage the United States Navy from coming to Alaska. There's a lot of economic benefits, and as an old Navy person, I don't really believe I have a conflict of interest, but I think it's good for Alaska to have the Navy in our waters, visit our ports, and some of their vessels are powered by nuclear means, and I wouldn't want this resolution to suggest that they weren't welcome here in Alaska. I think they are welcome and should continue to be so.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have objected, but only for the purpose of clarifying the intent of the amendment. I intend to support the amendment, and as a former Navy person myself, I don't think that I have a conflict either on that. I understand from conversations with the maker of the amendment that the representative from Eagle River does not mean by this to amend the bill to encourage nuclear weapons to be carried on nuclear-powered ships. This deals with the ships themselves rather than any weapons that are carried aboard those ships. Am I correct?
Representative Cotton.
Speaker, the amendment makes no reference to weapons. It speaks solely to vessels.
Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I propose to support the amendment, but I must draw your attention to some inconsistencies here. We speak of a Navy nuclear-powered vessel, and let's assume here that that vessel could indeed have a particular warhead on it. I draw your attention to the resolution. It says nuclear weapons are themselves nuclear targets, and to remove the target will reduce the risk of destruction to the territory in which they were located in case of nuclear war. I'm going to support it, but I think the amendment is in direct contradiction to the resolution. It appears here we're saying let's have a nuclear-free zone up here, but then we will permit a vessel that has the potential of having a warhead on it into our territory. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm going to support it.
Representative Cotton.
I think it's a military policy to answer no comment if asked if there are nuclear weapons aboard a ship, and it you don't need to have a nuclear-powered vessel in order to carry weapons. And so you could have a conventionally powered ship that carried nuclear weapons as well. So I wanted to make sure that we weren't discouraging the Navy from coming to Alaska.
Representative Kopanen.
And thank you. The resolution deals with obtaining verifiable bilateral and multilateral treaties. Now, we are not involved directly in negotiating those treaties. The treaties would be between the United States and the Soviet Union and any other countries that are involved in the area. Now, if in the course of negotiations they decide to make a nuclear no-go zone for nuclear ships, that is the federal government's prerogative, and we can't really dictate one way or the other. In this instance, it just depends on the kind of negotiations that that our State Department undertakes and what they offer as bargaining chips. And this is an indication, I think, that we don't intend to, shall we say, assume certain things in the process by unilaterally declaring this an off limit zone, which we can't do anyway.
Are there any objections to amendment number 5? Representative Brown.
This is a question to the sponsor. If we were to get the nuclear free zone established as called for on page 3, line 13, would that include these nuclear powered Navy ships? Would they be considered as nuclear ships and therefore not allowed in the Arctic?
Representative Kopanen.
Yes, as I said, I think that kind of definition is much more dependent on what the negotiations come up with than what we would decide. I couldn't see one. I don't think that that's necessarily true. Nevertheless, I can see the possibility that both the United States and the Soviet Union may declare, you know, for one reason or another, Bering Sea to be closed to nuclear submarines of either the Soviet Union or the United States. That's a hypothetical example, but that wouldn't be something that we would be deciding. That would be, you know, for whatever reason, the superpowers may wish to leave that zone off. So it's not, we're not trying to prejudge or dictate to them the form in which those negotiations would take. Ultimately, of course, in the best of all possible worlds, we will not need nuclear submarines, but I think that's a few years down the line. And thank
you. Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just took another look at this resolution and at the resolve clauses, and one of them, resolve, of course, is that we're asking the legislature is asking that the negotiations take place and to come up with some kind of agreements and treaties between the United States, Soviet Union, and other nations. And the other resolve is that we don't seek to limit the use of the nuclear technology for medical purposes. And I think that this resolve is certainly not in the same thrust of these two other resolves. And I just wonder if it would be better to have this as a letter of intent rather than a resolve clause. It seems to change the whole scope of this resolution. Perhaps the sponsor might want to address.
Representative Cotton.
Well, I don't agree. I think that on a resolution like this, a resolution is a letter of intent, and feel that it should be included as part of the body.
Is there any objection to Amendment Number 5? I hear objection. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
29 yeas, 8 nays.
Amendment Number 5 has been adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
We'll have to, Representative Davis, you are out.
Yeah, I didn't register.
Okay, we'd have to have the vote again on the amendment. Would the clerk clear the board? The question is, shall Amendment Number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, 8 nays.
Amendment Number 5 has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand that my distinguished colleague across the aisle will object to advancement. Therefore, I ask unanimous consent that the bill be held in third reading until next Monday.
Are there any objections? Representative Taylor objects.
I'd like a brief recess.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had a motion to hold the resolution in third reading on Monday. There was an objection by Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you. During the interim, I've had an opportunity to discuss the matter a little more fully with some other representatives. I will remove my objection at this time, and thank you for the courtesy.
Are there any further objections to the motion by the Majority Leader? Hearing no further objections, it'll appear in third reading on Monday's calendar. Final action on some citations, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two citations on the calendar today. The first honors Daniel J. Golden III on obtaining the Eagle rank, the rank of Eagle Scout. Second honors Colonel Norman A. Vaughan. I move and ask unanimous consent that both citations be adopted.
Are there any objections to the citations? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been adopted. Unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Several things. First of all, I would ask the members to retain their files on House Bill 121, that's the private prosecutions bill, and House Joint Resolution Number 4, the nuclear free zone, for next Monday. And we will have a clean copy of House Joint Resolution 4 with all amendments on everyone's desk on Monday. Second, we have an item in the limbo file. That's House Joint Resolution Number 5. Apparently there's a minor amendment by the Senate, but we will not take that up today. Tentatively on Friday we'll deal with that. And finally, we have several requests for excused absence. Representative Cato from 5 p.m. Thursday, April 16, to Plain Time Monday, April 20. Representative Taylor from 7 a.m. Friday, April 24, to Plain Time Monday, April 27. Representative Ulmer from 8 a.m. Friday, April 17 to 5 p.m. Monday, April 20. Representative Miller from after session Thursday, April 23 to Plain Time Monday, April 27. Representative Boucher from 5:40 p.m. Thursday, April 16 to Plain Time Tuesday, April 21. And finally, Representative Rieger from 5 p.m. Thursday, April 16 to Plain Time Tuesday, April 21st. I move and ask unanimous consent that those members be excused from the call of the House.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the members named by the majority leader are excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees and special committees. Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Resources Committee will meet today jointly with the Senate Resources Committee in the Senate Finance Committee room. We will be meeting with the utility managers from the Rail Belt Utilities, the Rail Belt Utility Council, and be discussing several bills that I believe are listed in the agenda. Other members who have an interest in Rail Belt Energy are encouraged to attend.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In House Finance today, coming out of subcommittee is House Bill 14 relating to state employees awards. That will be heard today. Tomorrow, two bills are back from subcommittee, House Bill 83 and 84 relating to prior year dividends. Also, the subcommittee on the university will meet at 5 p.m. tomorrow in House Finance. And also on Friday in my office at 8:30 a.m., House Bill 127, the supplemental appropriations, will be heard in my office on Friday. Thank you.
Representative Cotton, would the House please stand at ease? House come back to order.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
Under unfinished business, please.
Any objection to going back to unfinished business? Representative Cotton.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee waive Senate Bill 130, which is a supplemental appropriation for the recorder's offices. The bill obviously would have another referral to the Finance Committee, and I feel it would be most appropriate for the Finance Committee to be able to consider that as early as possible.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the bill has been waived to the next committee referral, Finance. Back to announcements of standing committees or special committees. General announcements. Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to remind everybody in the body that we're going to have a party for all the legislative kids this Saturday night at the swimming pool. And Representative Davidson and I have taken care of making some arrangements and encourage all of you that have children to bring them. And this includes all the House staff, legislative affairs, and the lobbyists. It's just kind of an attempt to have a kids' day here. And if it works out, we're going to try to do a little thing at Sandy Beach and later on in May if we get some good weather. And just to encourage all of you who don't have kids, we all know that you are really a kid at heart, so all of you are invited to come and participate. And that's 8 to 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Any further general announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a message from Senator Paul Fisher inviting all of us to attend a meeting of the HES committee tomorrow in the Senate Finance Room at 1:30, which features a presentation by First Lady Nancy Reagan and Mrs. Nancy Murkowski dealing with substance abuse. Thank you.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remind the Anchorage members that we will be having an Anchorage caucus tomorrow. I'm not sure right now exactly where it's going to be held. We will call your offices and let you know. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind the majority members there'll be a majority caucus tomorrow in the Speaker's chambers at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 9th.
Any further announcements? Okay, special orders. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.